It's Thursday, the 25th of April, 2024, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, bringing you these headlines from the WilliamsNews.com website, News of Williams and the Grand Canyon. Circus magic coming to Williams. Culpeper and Merriweather Circus returns to Williams for one night only, May the 1st. Absolute beautiful place. Rockin' River Ranch State Park opens in Camp Verde, and Coconino County continues investigation into disappearance of Chelsea Grimm. So our first item from the 23rd of April, Circus Magic coming to Williams. Culpeper and Merriweather Circus returns to Williams for one night only, May the 1st. Otherwise an ordinary day, an anticipated visit from Skeeter the Clown awaited the children of the Williams Recreation Center April 19th from the Culpeper and Merriweather Circus. Skeeter the Clown gave children a preview of the show, which comes to town for one night only on May the 1st. Skeeter entertained the children with her balancing feather, picture-changing coloring book, and balloon animals. The circus will have show times at 5 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. The circus is hosted by the Kiwanis Club of Williams, with funds raised from pre-event ticket sales going toward youth programs and scholarships in Williams. Tickets can be purchased at the Williams Grand Canyon News Office, Williams Visitor Center, and the Williams Library. Prices for advance tickets are $13 for adults, $8 for children ages 2 to 12 and seniors 65 and over. Children under 2 are free. Day of ticket sales are $16 for adults and $9 for children and seniors. The show is a tented one-ring circus that performs for 90 minutes and features big cats, trapeze, contortion, tight wire, animal shows, including Logan Jimenez with his cockatoos, the Loyal Family 10th Generation Bareback Riders, and more. A bounce house will also be on site for children to enjoy. The circus will be held at the Williams Rodeo Ground, 800 Rodeo Road. At 9:30 a.m. May the 1st, the public is invited to watch the raising of the Big Top Tent. More information is available from the Culpeper and Merriweather Circus Facebook page, with videos, photos, and comments from past sponsors and patrons, and at www.cmcircus.com. That's CMCIRCUS.com. That's Circus Magic coming to Williams. Culpeper and Merriweather Circus returns to Williams for one night only, May the 1st. Our next headline, absolute beautiful place. Rockin' River Ranch State Park opens in Camp Verde. This is also from the 23rd of April, Camp Verde. After setbacks and struggles and eager anticipation and waiting, Rockin' River Ranch State Park opened on February the 9th. Arizona's newest state park sits between Phoenix and Flagstaff at the confluence of West Clear Creek and the Verde River, where native wildlife, hiking trails, and picnic areas have already attracted local and international visitors. According to the website, the 209-acre state park was originally privately owned and operated as a guest ranch with horse riding and boarding facilities. The state acquired Rockin' River Ranch in 2008, and master planning happened in 2017 and early in 2018. But the planning was put on hold because of leadership changes, said Arizona State Parks and Trails spokesperson Michelle Thompson. And when COVID-19 hit in early 2020, development was delayed further. Thompson said in an email that through March the 24th, 1,595 visitors have come to the park. Thompson said the park has made just over $9,000, including entrance fees, and sales. Now that the park is open, Sheila Stubler, Rockin' River Ranch Park Manager, said there have been visitors from Germany, the Netherlands, England, and elsewhere. There's new memories that are going to be built. That whole thing about making memories is one of our focuses, Stubler said, noting we want to be able to provide things for people. The state park, located at 4513 South Salt Mine Road, not only preserves nature and its resources, but is now open to the public. By making it into a state park, it's something that's accessible by all different groups to enjoy the beautiful Verde River, Stubler said. Area history. Brian Lawrence, a resident of Camp Verde, said his grandfather founded Rocking River Ranch in 1946 when he sold his 600-acre ranch property in the valley, moved his family to Camp Verde, and bought what he called the Lawrence Ranch. The ranch is where his dad, aunts, and uncles grew up. Lawrence said it used to be a working cattle ranch with horses, pigs, and gardens. Back in those days, things were not very much different than they were back in the ancient cavalry days. This place was all very primitive, Lawrence said. In 1960, Lawrence's grandfather got sick and was unable to keep up the ranch anymore, so he sold it, Lawrence said. For the next 5 decades, the ranch was bought and sold by several different owners until it was purchased in 2008 by the state. Lawrence said it's wonderful to have people from all over see Arizona's diverse landscapes and experience his family's legacy. People that are from all around the country have this impression, this attitude or thought that Arizona is like one big flat desert, kind of like down in Phoenix, and Arizona is actually one of the most diverse states in the United States, Lawrence said. It's just an absolute beautiful place, and people are blown away when they actually come to Arizona. Jeremy Gardner, the full-time park ranger, said highlighting the history and geology of the area is important. People learn more about the region, they start to care about the area, and they start to put in stakes with it. Then, whenever something comes up about maybe damaging the local environment, they might be more against it, or they might be more for something that could possibly help conserve that area, Gardner said. The park staff includes Gardner, Stubler, and assistant manager Tom Lenigan, who are aiming to do educational outreach to school groups. The education program is currently being developed, and we're excited to engage the public in all that Rockin' River has to offer, Stubler said in a text message. Rockin' River Ranch State Park is open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and the entrance fee is $7 per vehicle or $3 per individual or bicycle. We're here to serve the public, so that's what we're trying to do to the best of our ability with what resources that we have, Stubler said. And that's Absolute Beautiful Place. Rockin' River Ranch State Park opens in Camp Verde. Our next item, Coconino County continues investigation into the disappearance of Chelsea Grimm. And this also is from the 23rd of April, Williams. It's been 6 months since Chelsea Grimm, 32, went missing under suspicious circumstances west of Williams. October 5, 2023, Grimm was on a road trip from her home in San Diego to Connecticut for a wedding when she stopped in Arizona and went missing, according to Coconino County Sheriff's Office. Her family reported her missing after she failed to meet a friend in Phoenix. On October 4th, the Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer, John Paxton, said hunters in the area reported that they found Grimm's vehicle abandoned on a remote road between Williams and Ash Fork, and that it had been sitting there since October the 3rd. Upon further investigation, the car had 2 flat tires and some belongings were still inside the car. Grimm's phone, wallet, and bearded dragon are still missing, according to Coconino County Sheriff's Office. At the time, the sheriff's office deputies conducted search in the area, but found no further evidence. Today, the investigation continues, but active searches by Coconino County Sheriff's Office have been suspended, according to their public information officer, John Paxton. We're not actively searching anymore, but we're still continuing to follow up on leads, Paxton said in an April 22nd interview with the Williams News. We just can't have people out there wandering when there's no solid leads. Paxton said they have received and followed up on many leads and tips over the past month, but none have led to any progress in finding Grimm. The sheriff's office said Grimm's phone was turned off and none of her credit cards have been used. We're continuing to monitor certain things. If she has a credit card out there, we're watching for that, Paxton said. Despite the end of active searches, the case is still an active investigation and has been assigned to a Coconino County Sheriff's Office detective. I think our strongest theory right now is that she tried to walk out or she got into a vehicle with somebody, he said. If you've been in that area, you know you can't go a mile without coming across a road, so it doesn't seem like she'd wander out in the wilderness and never find a road, and there are hunters all over the place. Additionally, the sheriff's office remains in contact with Grimm's family to keep them updated on any new evidence. If they call us with anything, we'll follow up on it, Paxton said. We touch base with them every so often. If we find something or hear something, we let them know. The Coconino County Sheriff's Office is also in contact with the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office to keep them updated on cases within their county and to share any new leads. Just before Grimm's disappearance on October 5th, a Williams Police Department officer responded to a call September 28th about suspicious activity at the Williams Cemetery. Grimm was found in her vehicle and said she'd been taking photographs of headstones in the cemetery. She appeared upset, according to body cam footage from the officer. Grimm mentioned that she didn't have a hotel because she planned on camping out for the night. The officer asked if she was okay, then recommended locations where she could sleep in her vehicle in town. On September the 30th, woodcutters reportedly spoke with Grimm in the Kaibab National Forest, but did not observe anything unusual. They observed her car later when it was getting dark and asked her if everything was good, he said. She made no indication that anything was wrong on the 30th. The sheriff's office is asking if anyone remembers seeing or having contact with Chelsea or her bearded dragon to call 928-774-4523. That's Coconino County continues investigation into disappearance of Chelsea Grimm. Our next article, City Approves New Equipment for Rodeo and Dogtown Wells, is from the 23rd of April. Williams. During its regular April 11th meeting, the Williams City Council voted to approve action regarding the well systems in Williams. City of Williams Water Systems contractor Pat Carpenter of A Quality Water provided a proposal to equip the rodeo well with a new pump, motor, and seals to the tune of $83,200. To avoid purchasing a new pump, Carpenter requested to have the current rodeo pump tested. He also requested $4,600 to supply and install a remote interface for the Dogtown wells to allow for remote starting and stopping of the well in inclement weather, as well as frequency adjustments and status monitoring. The council unanimously approved Carpenter's proposals, and installation will be completed in a few weeks. In other news, the council unanimously passed a 10-year renewal of an intergovernmental agreement between the Arizona Department of Forestry and the City of Williams. This agreement is needed to request state and federal resources in the event of a wildland fire and also allows state forestry to request resources from the City of Williams when available. With the agreement, the City of Williams can request reimbursement for resources used outside of city limits through a cooperative fire rate agreement. The IGA also provides the City of Williams to be eligible for grants through the Arizona Department of Forestry. The agreement does not incur any costs, and the renewal lasts for 10 years. That city approves new equipment for rodeo and Dogtown wells. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Hoffman. Remember, you can stream Northland Views on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org for listening at a time of your choosing. We'll start now with Celebrate Earth Month with St. John's Episcopal Lutheran Church. Although this is from the 23rd, there are a couple of dates in here that have already passed. But the article begins, St. John's Church in Williams, Arizona is continuing its commitment to fostering a beloved community by hosting a series of educational programs centered around ecology, earthkeeping, and climate resiliency. Community members are invited to participate in these free events, which will take place at either the church or Walker Hall. The series kicked off on April 22nd from 6 to 7 p.m. with a special Earth Day celebration titled Science in the Sanctuary, The Ecology of Our Forest Communities. Retired Kaibab National Forest civiculturalist John Holmes led the discussion, offering insights into the ecology of forest communities on the Kaibab and how these principles shape the region's forests. Attendees also engaged in a bioregional quiz to deepen their understanding of the Colorado Plateau. April the 23rd, from 4 to 6, participants attended a presentation at Walker Hall for screening of the eco-documentary, A Thousand Invisible Cords, From Genes to Ecosystems. This film, produced in 2012, offered a hopeful perspective on addressing environmental challenges and highlighted the interconnectedness of all organisms on Earth. Following the screening, the attendees could join members of St. John's at Kaibab Lake to witness the rise of the full moon, known as the pink or fish moon. And again, this has already occurred, so we don't know how successful that was. Hopefully a clear sky. The series continues April 29th from 4 to 6 p.m. with another documentary viewing in Walker Hall, Taking Earth's Temperature, Delving into Climate's Past. Follow scientists from Northern Arizona University as they explore whether the Earth has a fever, journeying to Alaska and beyond in search of answers. Finally, on April the 30th, from 4 to 6 p.m., St. John's will host a program and discussion with members of the Northern Arizona Climate Change Alliance and their Faith Climate Action Team. Community members are encouraged to follow St. John's Facebook page or visit their website for updated information on these enlightening and engaging events. St. John's Church is located at 202 West Grant Avenue in Williams. And that's Celebrate Earth Month with St. John's Episcopal Lutheran Church. Next, a plumbing issue at this Lake Powell Dam could cause big trouble for Western Water. This is by Alex Hager from the 22nd of April. Conservation groups are calling for changes to the management of Lake Powell, the nation's second largest reservoir, after the discovery of damaged plumbing within the dam that holds it back. The damage is to Glen Canyon Dam's River Outlet Works, a critical set of small tubes near the bottom of the dam that were originally intended to release excess water when the reservoir is nearing full capacity. The reservoir is currently only 32% full, beleaguered by climate change and steady demand. Water experts think the River Outlet Works may soon become the only way to pass water from Lake Powell, situated in far northern Arizona, to the Colorado River on the other side. Experts worry that damage to those tubes could impede the ability to use them regularly. It's the latest twist in the saga of Glen Canyon Dam, which has been at the center of recent concern about the shrinking Colorado River. Even before news of the damaged pipes came to light, water experts fear Lake Powell could drop so low that water would be unable to pass through hydropower turbines that generate electricity for about 5 million people across several states. If it falls even lower, water would be unable to pass through the dam at all, keeping it out of the Grand Canyon just downstream of Lake Powell. The threat of that reality has led nonprofit advocacy groups to sound the alarm. I think it's really important for people to recognize how much of a threat this is to our water delivery system, said Eric Balkin, executive director of the Glen Canyon Institute. This is a really big infrastructure problem, and it has a big impact on how water is managed throughout this whole basin. The recent damage to the outlet works is the product of a process called cavitation. It happens when small air bubbles in the water pop while passing through the dam's plumbing. That implosion is strong enough to create shock waves that tear away small chunks of protective coating on the insides of pipes. In recent years, the outlet works has been used to release temporary bursts of water designed to boost ecosystems in the Grand Canyon. The cavitation damage was discovered during inspections of the pipes after a series of those planned water bursts in April 2023. In an informational webinar on Monday, reclamation officials explained the damage and said it was not the result of one specific event, but has occurred over time. Nick Williams, Upper Colorado River power manager for the Bureau of Reclamation, said cavitation damage is more likely when reservoir levels are low. The river outlet works can still carry water, but will require repairs such as a fresh coating of epoxy that's scheduled for either later this year or early 2025, legal risk, and harm to fish. Even with a fully functioning river outlet work system, these pipes are only capable of carrying a relatively small amount of water. If the outlet works become the only means of passing water through the dam, the Colorado River's upper basin states, Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, and Utah, could fail to meet a long-standing legal obligation to pass a certain amount of water to their downstream neighbors each year. The Colorado River Compact, a 1922 legal agreement that forms the foundation of modern water management in the arid West, requires the upper basin to pass 7.5 million acre-feet of water to the lower basin states of California, Arizona, and Nevada each year. An acre-foot is the amount of water needed to fill 1 acre of land to a height of 1 foot. 1 acre-foot generally provides enough water for 1 to 2 households for a year. Lake Powell is often described as the Colorado River's savings account, where upper basin states stash water to make sure there's always enough to meet their legal requirement to send some downstream. Then the lower basin stores those water deliveries in Lake Mead, its checking account. Mead, the nation's largest reservoir, holds water that will eventually flow to cities such as Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Los Angeles, as well as sprawling farm fields in California and Arizona. Conservation groups have cited the limited capacity of the outlet works in previous calls to change the way Lake Powell is managed. The recent damage, they said, could make the outlet works unusable, not only worsening the challenge of keeping water flowing downstream from Lake Powell. If you lose your job, you don't go out and buy yourself an elaborate dinner, justifying it by saying, "I still have money in my checking account," said Zach Frankel, executive director of the Utah Rivers Council. You go, "Wow, I lost my income. I better look at my expense budget and see if it's time to tighten my belt." The Colorado River Basin has not yet learned to do that. In recent years, Lake Powell has barely stayed high enough for water to pass through hydropower turbines. That's the result of a shell game by water managers who've shuffled water into Lake Powell from upstream reservoirs on an emergency basis. Damage to the outlet works also raises concern about invasive fish entering a section of the Colorado River that flows through the Grand Canyon. Dropping water levels have allowed invasive smallmouth bass to swim through to the other side, where they can eat native humpback chub, a species protected by the Endangered Species Act. Recently, federal water managers released plans to help protect those at-risk chubs. Those plans partially hinge on the ability to release cold water through the river outlet works and into the Grand Canyon. Wildlife advocates criticized those plans even before the news of damage to the river outlet works, which could further jeopardize native fish conservation efforts. Fixes for the future. The 7 states which use the Colorado River are currently caught in a standoff about how to cut back on water demand. They're currently negotiating a new set of rules for sharing the river, designed to replace the current guidelines that expire in 2026 but are stuck at an ideological impasse. That new set of rules could theoretically introduce a long-term plan for managing the West's major reservoirs sustainably, allowing water managers to move on from a patchwork of emergency measures that have only temporarily staved off problems at Glen Canyon Dam. Balkan, with the nonprofit Glen Canyon Institute, said policymakers should consider major changes to how the dam is operated. If we're going to update this river system to be climate resilient, and if we're going to upgrade our infrastructure to deal with what climate change is handing us, we really have to take a hard look at bypassing Glen Canyon Dam, Balkin said. In March, Upper Basin and Lower Basin states each released competing plans for post-2026 river management. Later, a coalition of environmental nonprofits released their own. A group of tribes that use the Colorado River has issued a set of principles it hopes will be incorporated into future water management. The Biden administration is urging states to find compromise before the end of 2024 in hopes of averting any complication that could be brought on by a change in presidential administration following the November election. This story is part of an ongoing coverage of water in the West produced by KUNC in Colorado and supported by the Walton Family Foundation. KUNC is solely responsible for its editorial coverage. That's a plumbing issue at this Lake Powell Dam could cause big trouble for Western water. Finally, from the 22nd of April, we have day-use trail closure scheduled for a section of North Kaibab Trail. Grand Canyon. Hikers can expect temporary day-use trail closures for the North Kaibab Trail north of the Manzanita day-use area to the Supai Tunnel. The Manzanita day-use area will be available for use during the closures. The trail closures are scheduled between 9 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. April 22nd through the 25th and April 29th through May the 2nd. Survey crews will be working during scheduled hours above the North Kaibab Trail and in the vicinity of the areas. This work requires highly technical canyon wall scaling that creates a rockfall hazard along sections of the public trail corridor. The survey work is being conducted to provide necessary data to support future infrastructure projects at the north rim of Grand Canyon National Park. During the temporary trail closures, hikers are strongly advised to adhere to the following safety guidelines. Respect trail closures. Please respect all posted trail closures and do not attempt to access closed areas for your safety and the safety of survey crews. Plan ahead. If you plan to hike the North Kaibab Trail during the closure dates, consider adjusting your itinerary or considering alternative trails within the park. Stay informed. Stay updated on trail closure information through the park's official park channels, such as the Key Hiking Messages or Critical Backcountry Updates webpages. North Rim Visitor Services remain closed until May 15th. This information was provided by the National Park Service. Day-use trail closures scheduled for a section of the North Kaibab Trail. Well, you've been listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to thank you for joining me and remind you that you can listen to Northland Views streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org.